Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, the show with the hostess who have the mostest chubbiness and movie knowledge.
Wow.
Yeah, no.
I actually had somebody on Formspring tell me that they don't think I'm fat at all. And I'm like, well, just look at my coat.
This is someone who knows you through the internet?
Yeah, probably.
That's clearly their issue.
Well, I mean, it's not like if you go to the website, you can't. It's not like that. It's obstructing my belly at all. You know, there's a pretty obvious picture of me showing my, let's just say, my adipose tissue.
Your chubby midsection.
Yes, that's adipose. It's the scientific. I like to be clinical.
Whatever you want to call it, however you want to justify it to yourself is fine.
Whatever.
Anyway. This week we've got a big show for you. We are reviewing Babies, and we are reviewing Iron Man 2. It is the beginning of summer. The flowers are, well, they're pretty much dead down here in Texas because it's getting to be so hot. But it's you know.
So are you saying Texas was deflowered already? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is that time of year when everything, including movie box office business, is in bloom. But before we get into all that, here's how you can get a hold of us. Go over to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can download our show. You can subscribe to us. You can put us on your iPhone and walk around with us. And you can review us, most importantly. We love to get those reviews. We love to read those. We're going to check on those.
And the most awesome thing about putting us on your iPhone is we don't make it weigh anymore.
Right, exactly. We are iPhone friendly. You can also email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. You can also get us on Facebook. Just search Fat Guys the Movies on Facebook. Or you can get us on the Twitter. You can get me at twitter.com/rejects or Kevin at twitter.com/KevinCarr with two R's.
That's right. Yeah.
So what are we doing first?
Did we get any voicemails this week?
I don't think so.
I think there was one left by me trying to get in touch with you.
Oh, well, that's irrelevant. I don't even listen to those.
Anyways, I had a little bit of a warning here. I'm slow on the uptake today because I've been sick all week. So I'm just padding the show out with excuses.
Yeah, it just makes you less formidable.
Yes. I'm going to be like, you'll try and, you know, razz me or something like that, and I'll be just like, whatever.
Yeah, I noticed that you were crabby in the pre-show.
I'm very well. I've been sick for the last couple of days. I've been I got some bug. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But
how many legs did it have?
It's the I don't give a crap bug.
Ooh.
Because it's one of those things where the house could be on fire, and as long as smoke's not coming in the room, mm-hmm. I'll just sit here and watch TV. You know, I've been literally watching. I got all these DVDs I have to watch to review and stuff like that. I've literally been just watching old episodes of The Office on Netflix Instant because I got a new Blu-ray player that's connected to the internet, and you can do Netflix Instant on it on my.
It's really addictive and not recommended for people like you and I who are easily distracted by shiny things.
Well, and what's funny about it is, for my job, I have to sit around and just watch movies.
Yeah.
Yet I'm slacking off and not watching the movies that I need to be watching. I mean, how lazy is that?
I'm in the same mode. This week I've been watching Daria, although I'm reviewing Daria, the complete series. It comes out on DVD next week. But I've literally been sitting on the couch watching Daria instead of writing.
Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of stuff. I got a whole stack that I should have written reviews for, and now... So, yeah, but I'm catching up on The Office. What I'm doing is I'm watching the seasons in reverse. I'm at the end of season 3, so I should go back to season 2. And then, of course, when that's over, I put all the old episodes of 24 in there. So this is a non-ending cycle. This is the worst thing I could have done for myself.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of non-ending cycles, let's talk about The Circle of Life.
Sure.
And the new documentary from Focus Features.
You're not going to teach me about the birds and the bees, are you?
Not unless it's part of this movie.
Okay.
The new documentary from Focus Features called Babies, in which cute babies from 4 different cultures are profiled in this Mother's Day themed doc.
Oh, mother.
Did you see this?
No.
That's right. You skipped a screening last week.
I skipped two screenings.
Many screenings.
Two. Well, and there's one more screening that will happen after this particular recording that I'm not going to go to either. So.
Yeah, I skipped this screening simply because I'm not reviewing it anywhere. And as much as I would have seen it normally, it's just at the day of the screening, I was still sick. So
yeah,
I was like, I think I may have gotten sick. I literally saw Iron Man 2 and came home and felt sick. So I don't know whether there was something in the Iron Man screening, or if that just is when everything decided to hit me. So I did not see Babies. I've talked to people who've seen Babies.
Mm-hmm.
I've had three babies of my own.
Yeah,
I don't know if that counts. It looks cute enough, but as I understand, there's no like narration. It just shows these kids. It's like 80 minutes of showing kids, you know, crawling and walking, and
mm-hmm.
it's like a giant YouTube video.
Mm.
You know, I think they're going to make the sequel Puppies and Kittens.
Yes, that would be fun.
Yeah, but I mean. It looks exactly like what it's going to be. I mean, I really don't think there's going to be any surprises.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got like what, four kids? Like one's from Africa, one's from Japan,
it's either Beijing or Tokyo. I can't remember.
Okay.
The one is in San Francisco, and there's another one that I don't.
There's another one on Mars.
No idea.
Yeah, but we
are totally unprepared to talk about this movie.
Completely, and I feel really bad because I'm supposed to do this, but I every now and then, you know, something happens and I'm unable to see the film, and nobody really cares about this movie anyways. It's opening in like 500 theaters.
Mm.
Not to say nobody cares, but
I've been told that it's exactly what it is, what it advertises itself to be. It's a movie about cute babies.
Yeah. And it's not like babies. Like, you'd think that if it was like babies in, you know, Rwanda,
mm-hmm.
like 10 years ago, it would be like, you know, it would be this awful, horrible genocide in the background. But no, this is all just cute, cuddly stuff, I think. It's there's no like greater social issue to it.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's for the moms for Mother's Day, you know. Yeah. Is this weekend Mother's Day?
Yeah, Sunday.
Oh, happy Mother's Day to all the moms listening to her.
Happy Mother's Day to your mom. Happy Mother's Day, Neil's mom. That's what I have to say to you.
Oh, fair enough. I should remember to call her this week, and, you know, she'll want to talk about Lost. I mean.
Yes. Oh, is she a big Lost fan?
Oh, my God, yeah. Did you see this week's episode of Lost?
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
I don't want to throw out any spoilers.
Yeah, no. I just want to say she's a big Saeed fan. So,
oh, really?
This will be a especially traumatic week for her.
Even when he went really dark and evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Shooting children and stuff like that.
Well, you know, I mean, that kid deserved it. He grew up to be Ben Linus.
What happens has happened. We won't go much more into Lost.
Anyways,
we've only got like four
Lost.
Episodes left. But Babies, I'm sure, is adorable if you're a mom.
Yeah, go.
If you're a fat guy, probably not.
Probably not. Anyway, we'll be back. And we are back here on Fat Guys in the Movies, and now that we have...
I'm still sick.
Kevin is still sick. And now that we've gotten out of the way, Babies, the documentary that will give you a cute overload...
That will blow your mind!
We also talked about Lost, inadvertently.
Which has nothing to do with babies.
Well, there's babies on that show that get stolen.
There's babies in and out of bodies.
Stolen and orphaned.
All throughout the
all of those
show.
Things. Anyway, it's time to move on to the big movie of the week, Iron Man 2.
This little independent film.
And nope,
that was my TV powering down there.
Wow, nice.
It has this. My TV has a stupid thing that it like, the Blu-ray player will not, it'll time out. It won't go into like a screensaver,
uh-huh.
and there's no way to disable that. I hate technology that thinks too much for you.
Oh, and then when your Blu-ray turns off automatically, it the TV also turns off?
Yeah, and then when it turns off, it loses the place on the Blu-ray. If you're playing a movie, because for some reason, as awesome as Blu-ray is, they have yet to master the technology to remember your place on the disc. If you're watching.
You're right. Technology really isn't for you.
Well, no, but I mean, Blu-ray, I mean, DVDs, it's sort of like
my
the iPhone.
My VHS tapes would just start right back up.
Well, no, DVD players used to do that, and then they set them up so they'll remember where you are on the disc. And they don't do that on Blu-rays. I've got a brand new Blu-ray, but it doesn't do that. It's like the iPhone is just incapable of handling Flash.
Yeah.
Because they're stupid.
Uh-huh.
Screw you, technology people.
Okay. Anyway, so it's the official start of summer. It is the first of several sequels. Are there a lot of sequels this year?
There always are. But you know what? People have been complaining about sequels and reboots, forgetting that 30 years ago, Hollywood was making sequels and reboots. And 30 years before that, they were making sequels and reboots. So this is nothing new. True. Hollywood rebooting and sequeling.
And you know what? There must be some diehard Shakespeare fans out there.
Really?
Who are just royally through the roof about how many times Hamlet's been remade.
I know, for shame.
Oh, for shame.
A plague on both their houses.
Anyway, in Iron Man 2, Tony Stark returns to blow more things up in this sequel to the 2008 blockbuster.
Our priority is to get the Iron Man weapon turned over to the United States of America.
I am Iron Man. The suit and I are one.
Contrary to popular belief, I know exactly what I'm doing.
What?
What I saw you do to Tony Stark on that track?
Wow.
You need my resources.
I want to make Iron Man look like an antique.
This whole lone gunslinger act's unnecessary. You don't have to do this alone.
Boom. That's what I have to say. Boom.
So your thoughts, Kevin Carr?
Well, here's the thing. Let me preface this by saying when Iron Man Uno came out 2 years ago, I enjoyed it. Now, let me just preface it. It was a fun movie. I liked the action. It looked great. You know, it was relatively well paced. I did not think it was the beginning and the end of superhero movies. There was literally an article written on Film School Rejects declaring that Iron Man was, in fact, the best superhero movie ever made. And I remember seeing that going, I don't know about that. And then, of course, later...
Well, that's because you're a hater.
I'm not a hater. Well, that's the thing. I'm not a hater. My whole thing is I liked Iron Man. I thought it was enjoyable. Was it perfect? No. You know, was it... You know, did it drag in some points, the first one? Yeah, it did. So when I saw this one, and I saw a lot of people's reviews and early Twitter buzz and stuff, people saying... Well, it's not as awesome as the first one, but, you know, it's still pretty fun. I found Iron Man 2 to be pretty much exactly on the level of Iron Man 1 in terms of pacing and plot and character. And I thought the action was better in this one. I thought it kind of follows the same model where finally at the end you have just big people in iron suits beating the crap out of each other. But I liked it. I thought there was the action was paced better. It just seemed to flow a little bit better. It gets this part in the middle where it gets really wonky in terms of in a kind of an awkward scene structure and plotting. But that's because they're sort of setting up for Nick Fury and future Avengers stuff with Captain America. I mean, they're setting up for later films. So even though it's a second movie, it still's involving a little bit of origin stories, although kind of from the back door. There was one scene that bothered me, and it was what I've been referring to for the last couple of years as the jazz club scene from Spider-Man 3. A lot of movies have
the birthday
these.
Party?
Yes.
It is very much the jazz club scene, and if it didn't end with an awesome fight...
That worked. That was cool.
Then it would have been that Spider-Man 3 type scene.
Yeah,
so, exactly the same scene.
Yeah, and that's what I literally was sitting here thinking. Wow, and then it got out of the scene and the movie moved on better.
Yeah.
So
well, and I think that's all. It's all part of the film's very weak second act because what happens is you start with this, you know, a kind of barrage of introductions. You know, they introduce Justin Hammer, played by Sam Rockwell. Mm-hmm. They introduce Mickey Rourke's character, Ivan Vanko, who becomes the film's villain. And then, of course, they sort of reintroduce Tony Stark, and you find out some things about him. that have happened in the last couple months since the first movie. And then they have this really cool battle scene, the Monaco scene that you see in the trailer. And after that, there's this kind of lull in the film, and it's kind of just a bloated second act. And then the third act, I think, is the third act is a better action movie by itself than the action we saw in the first film.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think overall, you know, the Iron Man 2 kind of stumbles a little bit with that sequelitis, the having to throw in a little bit too much. Although I will say this, they didn't have a problem with multiple villains because there weren't multiple villains. There's kind of a one villain entity in this movie, and it's just it's two people as one entity.
They fit together. I mean, you had Hammer, yeah. You had.
So I think that works, and I think the action, like I said, the action's great. There's some little problems I think with the film that, in my mind, the difference that people are going to experience with Iron Man 2 is that there's no newness to it.
Yeah.
In the sense that...
But there's no way to do that. There is.
Well,
no
yeah. It, with the first movie, you discovered something new. You saw Iron Man for the first time. In the second movie, they don't really introduce any characters that feel incredibly new. Even the villain feels kind of like the same, almost the same kind of villain.
Well, very much so, especially at the end with...
Especially
with,
at the end.
With it just being big people in giant suits.
Yeah, so it's really, it's the same thing done on a larger scale. Whereas I think people, the special... you know, of course, the comparisons to The Dark Knight will, you know, be there whether we want to or not. The difference is The Dark Knight did something completely different than the first movie, and Iron Man 2 doesn't exactly do that. However, Iron Man 2 is a lot of fun. You know, it's a lot of fun. Robert Downey Jr. absolutely kills again as Tony Stark. Sam Rockwell is a lot of fun. Mickey Rourke is good, I guess.
Though he wasn't given much to work with. It was just basically look pissed off through the whole thing.
I will tell you who I liked a lot in this movie, who I didn't think I was going to like a lot, is Scarlett Johansson as Natalie Romanoff.
Yeah. Well,
the Black Widow. They work her in a little bit, and they give her kind of an interesting story, and then she has a very, very cool moment in Act 3, and
true.
That's it. And that's
well,
all she
is,
needed.
The thing is with Scarlett Johansson is they didn't overuse her, because she's not a good actor. I mean, I don't care what anyone says. She's not a good actor.
Well, and I think she's right for the character
She has like 17 lines in the movie, and then
most of them are very flat. They're meant to blend in, and they're meant to not be interesting, and then she gets into some of the physical stuff.
Yeah.
And it's awesome, and I think that was incredibly well done.
Yeah, so. I agree. I think that she was used appropriately. There's a lot more of Gwyneth Paltrow in this movie, which I didn't like because I personally didn't like Gwyneth Paltrow in the first movie or this one. I generally am not a fan. We'll say. I got annoyed, and it was funny. It's recently I rewatched Iron Man, like just a couple weeks ago, and the same thing with their witty banter back and forth is. It was annoying in the first movie. It's there in this movie, but I mean, I can see past that. That's just part of the movie, you know.
Some of their banter was a little over the top.
Well, you can't take this movie too seriously, and I think some people are. I think some people are taking the first movie too seriously, in even just a 2-year-old nostalgia, because I mean, seeing a lot of people going, it's not as good as the original, and I'm like, no, it's pretty much exactly the same in the original, in my opinion.
I don't think... I would agree with you that they're kind of on par. Mm-hmm. I feel like the first one feels like a more complete package, whereas this one, there are some problems.
Well, I think...
I feel like the first one was more tightly assembled, whereas this one, it kind of lingers. And it's a lot of that like Avengers stuff that gets wedged in there.
The first one, though...
It doesn't feel natural.
In general, origin stories are clunky. And the first one had too much of that. But you needed to do that because not everybody knew who Iron Man was.
Right.
So I think it worked. But in going back and watching it, they have a lot of sequences of people building stuff. And they do that in this one, too. So, I mean, I think that does get padded. But both of the movies did about the same. But you can't take it seriously. I mean, the science is completely ridiculous. So don't try and figure it out because it doesn't make sense.
Cool.
But it
rocks.
It rocks.
Hey, there you go. When we come back, we'll talk more about Iron Man. Why not?
Woohoo.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies.
We are still here.
We're still here, still trying to differentiate between people and readers. That's a joke that nobody's going to get.
That's an off-air inside joke.
Totally off-air inside joke. We were differentiating off the air, basically, the difference between people being the general audience and people being sort of like people who read sites like Film School Rejects, you know, avid listeners of Fat Guys and the people who read Film School Rejects and a lot of the blogs, which often mirror the general audience, but not always.
Not always, true. So. True, they get a little bit more, comic book movies especially, they get a little bit more intensely invested in the property and in overthinking it, and you know, that's fun. I think it's fun. I think most people, you know, most of our listeners, people who hear us on the radio and stuff, really don't care, you know, about the nitty-gritty details of Iron Man. They just want to know if it's good or not. But I think it's fun to talk about some in-depth stuff, which is what we've been doing all week on filmschoolrejects.com. So you should check it out. Anyway, so moving on. If you didn't hear, we both said it rocked. Iron Man 2 rocks. It is well worth your money. I've seen it twice. I plan on seeing it at least once more, if not two more times before it comes out of theaters.
I did tweet out earlier this week before I got sick, and it was when the... when the news hit of its overseas take, which was like, what, $155 million as of last weekend?
Yeah.
So it's already a huge international blockbuster,
right?
Thanks to the World Cup. But I said, just you wait at some point, and this may not even hit as a news story, but I'm sure behind the scenes, after it hits this weekend and it does very, very well, which it will, at some point somebody's going to start figuring out how much it would have made if they had converted it to 3D.
That's true.
I'm not saying it's a good idea.
I will say this. I'm glad they didn't, and it is true they would have made more money.
They would have made a shit ton more money.
Yeah. That was you remembering what segment we're in.
I'm trying to think, are we on the radio on this segment? Yes or no? Okay.
Anyway, but yeah, no, you're right. I think it would have made a lot more money in 3D. I don't think it would have worked as well in 3D because a lot of the movie happens at night, and they would have had to do a quick post-production turnaround on it, and it would have looked awful.
Especially that this movie, even more so than something like Clash of the Titans or even Alice in Wonderland, it's a very crisp movie. It's all very much in focus. It's not gritty at all. Yeah,
it's a
very
technically
clean,
sound film.
Well, but not even that. It just looks like a brand new Corvette. You know what I mean? That's the kind of movie, the image that this movie has. So when it's that clean, it's going to look really goofy.
Yeah.
Whereas if you took something like Sherlock Holmes, which was very gritty and very dark and murky, you could hide a lot of the artifacting, but it's right out there for everybody to see if they would have... because they were talking about converting it, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, and they did. And Jon Favreau, actually, they came to Austin for a screening, and Jon Favreau did a Q&A. And he said, you know, it's one thing that he didn't want to rush it, and he doesn't think it looks good, you know? Mm. I think at one point he even said Iron Man's just not the film for 3D, and that was
Iron Man 3 will.
You know, well, I mean, I don't think they'll have a choice at that point, but I think he's right. Iron Man, there's a lot of things working against 3D for Iron Man. One, it's a very dark film, and dark and 3D don't go together well. Two, it's a very fast film. Even watching it in digital, it's hard to stay with a lot of the things that are happening in the movie because a lot of the action moves fast and you're talking about small elements. Like Iron Man, when he flies by, is not a very big, easy to see. It's not like a Transformer moving across the screen. So those are hard things to do in 3D. So I think he's right. Iron Man's really not a movie that really needs to be in 3D. I will see it in IMAX.
See, I don't know. I'm not sold on going to see something else. It wasn't shot in IMAX, was it?
No, it was just... I'm interested to see how it looks in IMAX. Although they have, here in Austin, they have a theater called the XD, Cinema XD, where it's like ultra-high quality 4K projection system, THX sound. It's like the highest quality standard movie theater that you can get. And I'm going to go see Iron Man.
See, I saw it where I saw it at the screening. They showed it. The print just wasn't even that good. It was funny is the print. See, you and I actually saw Iron Man 1 together for the first time. And it was digitally projected, and it looked fantastic.
Yeah, it looked wonderful.
This one, they didn't do it digitally, and the print looked a little worn. I mean, the print, it was a little bit murky. I mean, it still looked great for Iron Man, but I could tell it wasn't the highest quality print. So I am curious to see how it translates to like something like IMAX.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen it the two times I've seen it. One was projected on film, and it didn't look that great, mostly because a lot of it was out of focus. And the other time was digital, and it looked great. So
yeah,
and it was loud. Although, it's a loud movie.
I won't spend an extra $4 to go see it in IMAX. I'd spend an extra $4 to see it in 3D. I wouldn't for IMAX. That's the kind of guy.
Interesting.
I am.
See, I'm the other way around. I'd actually spend the $4 on IMAX because I don't like 3D. But you know, that's just me. Anyway, speaking of things that make money, how about that box office?
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street, no big surprise that won the weekend. Although what's funny is when they came in with the midnight show numbers, they were predicting $40 million for the weekend, and it came in at 30, just under 33.
Yeah, well, it was midnight heavy. It's a horror film.
Yeah, yeah. Which I mean, it basically.
You'd
made
think they'd be able
back.
To predict that by now. You'd think that the studio would be able to be like, well, we should, you know, we shouldn't factor that into a padded estimate.
But. That's also the way they sometimes will say, oh, Fandango is selling so many tickets, and you're like, you know what, that doesn't translate at all.
Yeah.
Because every single movie that comes out, they're like, this is tracking higher than Dark Knight. And
yeah. Just earlier before we started recording, I got an email from movietickets.com saying that 90% of the tickets being bought on movietickets.com are for Iron Man 2. And I'm like, well, of course.
So
it's
what?
It's the only big movie coming out this week. I didn't expect Babies to hack 30% of the share. This
Furry week. Vengeance wasn't going to come back and take over the spotlight, you know, this
not,
week.
Not in this world. In no. Bizarro that, world, it sure
I don't
is.
Think in any universe that was going to happen. That movie, by the way, that movie didn't do well. It came in at 5.
Did you see it, by the way?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was terrible.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have nightmares about that movie.
Yes. But, of course, this week, what do you think Iron Man's going
to
do?
Well, you know, it's hard to say, and I think $130 million is a safe. It's going to be big.
I don't think it's going to crack $150
million. I don't think it'll crack $150 million. I think $130 is a very safe bet for Iron Man 2 because, you know, I think people are excited. Get out there. It's the first big movie of summer. You know, I think it'll be right there, 130, 140.
I think it'll be well over 100 million. But this is the thing. Even movies like, you know, look last Christmas, Avatar, 77 million on its opening weekend. Yeah. It ended up making 500, you know.
Well, and the thing about summer movies is that they've got to get it all out in that first weekend, especially the big summer action movies, because Iron Man 2 has to compete next week with Robin Hood, which is going to be a big beast. Yeah. So it's going to have to do something similar to what the first film did. And the first film made what? I mean,
the first film made 90, it made 90-some million. But here's the thing. The first film made that, but it didn't have any real competition until Indiana Jones later that, because like the Narnia movie didn't do really well against it. It actually had a bunch of soft openings after. It's sort of like Transformers 2 had the same advantage that Transformers 2 came out and then just didn't have any real competition for a couple weeks just because of, you know, some movies didn't do as well and that sort of thing. So
right, which is why it's, I mean, they're doing things that are they're going to make this movie very first weekend heavy. It is the widest opening of all time. It'll be in the most theaters any movie has ever been in. The marketing is insane. And I think it will be more front loaded than the first movie was. I think it'll still make 300, you know, 320, 330, maybe $350 million. It's going to be a big grosser. But it's going to make almost half of that in the first weekend.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to suffer much competition to Robin Hood. I think it's really going to go down to Shrek when it comes out in 2 weeks.
You think so? I think that Robin Hood's a kind of a big competitor to this because Iron Man 2 appeals to demographics higher than what you would think.
Well, the difference with Iron Man 2 is it appeals to everybody.
Well, yeah, it appeals to everybody.
Men,
I think Robin
women,
Hood,
kids, adults, black, white, Martians, Earthlings, people
Martians
from a fifth dimension.
Are really kind of a fickle group anyway.
Well, that's such a racist thing to say. But no, I think that's why Iron Man, it's the full four quadrant appeal, whereas I don't think Robin Hood necessarily has. And Robin Hood's not going to go after the kids market the way Iron Man is. And I think that's because you're going to get parents going to, I want to take my kid to see Iron Man because I want to see Iron Man.
That's true. And Shrek doesn't come out till the end of the month, right?
Shrek comes out on the 21st. Yeah,
it's
2 weeks.
MacGruber and Shrek in the same week.
Yeah, and then Prince of Persia.
Which will, we'll see. I think that'll be the end of Iron Man's run at Prince of Persia. So,
yeah.
But no, I think 130, 140 million is pretty solid.
All right. Well, now that we've got that out of the way, let's move on to the Fat Guy 5.
Ooh.
Which we both enjoyed Iron Man 2. So in honor of that, we came up with a list that was harder to come up with than we initially thought.
Yeah.
Which is 5 awesome superhero sequels. Note that it's awesome, and if it was called 5 pretty decent superhero sequels, we may have had an easier time.
If it was 5 awful superhero sequels, we could have done 20 of them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it seems to be. It's really easy. The first one is The Dark Knight. I think probably the best superhero sequel of all time. Still the best superhero sequel of all time, I think.
Also because I thought Batman Begins had a lot of problems with it, and a lot of them were fixed in The Dark Knight.
I thought Batman Begins was not a very good movie at all. So
okay.
There you go.
All right. The next one would be Spider-Man 2. Very, very much the same. I thought the first one had some clunky problems to it, as awesome as Spider-Man was.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2 improved on that big time, in my opinion.
Yeah, you can have the next one, too.
Okay, that would be X-Men 2, X-Men United, which I actually thought was the first superhero movie to really improve of the modern superhero movies. It was the first one to really improve upon the first one, partly because it got past all the origin stories that kind of muck it up, and then it just told a really kick-ass story and was an awesome movie.
It then had its entire greatness ruined by Brett Ratner.
No, I liked The Last Stand. And I liked Wolverine for what it was.
The fourth one on our list is a personal favorite of mine, Batman Returns. We're going back to the 90s. Burton's Batman. This is Tim Burton's last Batman before he handed it over to Joel Schumacher.
And then it got ruined.
And this really was, I don't know if it necessarily improved upon the first one, because I think it went in a slightly sillier, direction with the Penguin and Catwoman, but this is one of the few superhero sequels that did well with multiple villains, I think.
Yes.
You essentially have 3 villains working in this film. You have, you have the Penguin, you have Catwoman, you have Max Schreck, played by Christopher Walken, and any movie with Christopher Walken's a winner, so.
Well, almost, except Geely. Sure.
He was in Geely?
He was in Geely. Did you not know that?
Wow. I must have blocked it out.
As was Al Pacino.
Anyway.
Batman Returns I thought was really good, simply because I thought that the first Batman was overhyped and a little bit weird with the Prince songs and everything, and they kind of smoothed it out in Batman Returns. And Michelle Pfeiffer was sexy hot as Catwoman.
Well, yeah.
And then the last one, we kind of ran out of things. So we're picking the Toxic Avenger Part 2.
That's
because
right.
It didn't ruin the first movie. I mean, it couldn't have been any worse than the first movie. But we do have an honorable mention that we both agree on.
Yeah, Blade 3. The one with Ryan Reynolds.
That was fun.
It was much better than Blade 2.
Blade 2 was awful. I don't care what Guillermo del Toro fans have to say. It was a bad movie.
Anyway, it's time for us to get out of here for this segment. When we come back, we're going to wrap you up, send you off with some DVD recommendations and whatnot.
Boom.
And we are wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. We have run through the gamut of babies and Iron Men and war machines.
Yes, I am still sick, and I still have no idea who Justin Bieber is.
Well, that's good.
Just
I think
updates
that,
in general things.
you being in the dark about Justin Bieber is probably a good idea. You saw Furry Vengeance, though, right?
Yes, I did.
Justin Bieber looks just like the kid from Furry Vengeance.
Well, you mean the son. The raccoon?
Something like that, yeah.
You mean the girl?
Anyway, it is time once again.
I also have no idea who Chris Allen is. I saw his name show up.
Oh, my God.
So
I can't even deal with you right now.
Whatever.
Anyway, time once again for the world famous DVD roundup.
I'm sick. What can I say?
Fair enough. We'll start. I think it's going to be a slow week this week. I have two Blu-ray recommendations.
Yes.
Dr. Zhivago, the 45th anniversary edition, is quite the Russian epic on Blu-ray.
Isn't it like 70 hours long?
It feels like it.
It's like two working weeks to watch this thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're working for good of Mother Russia at that point.
So. You know what? I should be allegedly getting a code to download it and watch it on demand to see how it looks on that. I'm actually trying to pump it to my awesome new TV.
Okay.
To see if it looks better than how it looks on a download. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Versus Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Blu-ray looks great. It's got tons of special features, a book, a soundtrack, and I mean, basically they give you, some borscht with it.
They have borscht in it? That's awesome.
And,
what would Dwight Schrute have to say about that?
It's a great big release for kind of a cool classic. So if you're a big fan, it's worth buying on Blu-ray. Okay. More than worth buying on Blu-ray is Saving Private Ryan. Probably, I like to use the term reference movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in the day when I was working in home electronics and doing home theater and stuff.
I went to your place to buy something, by the way.
Good for you. The Saving Private Ryan DVD with the DTS encoding, the DTS surround sound encoding, was always one of the great reference movies for a great surround sound home theater system because there's so much complexity to the audio mix, and it's a very loud, very intense film, especially the Normandy beach scene.
I heard that they just had people going pew 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 pew, and they made it all sound really awesome with the.
Anyway, so the Blu-ray is fantastic. It looks beautiful. It sounds amazing.
I don't know. I don't think
if you have a good home theater system, it is a must own.
I don't think this movie do well at all? Was anybody important involved in this film?
It got robbed for a few awards, I'm told.
Yeah, but so. Did anybody of note direct it? It was, it was McGee, wasn't it?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. That's Spiel. McSpiel.
McSpiel.
That guy. Oh, boy.
It's unraveling, this entire show.
It is unraveling. What are your two picks? You got some winners.
It's not even, it's just like, this is what's on the list. Leap Year, which is Amy Adams. The only reason to really look at this movie is it does look pretty awesome on Blu-ray, because it's the background of Ireland looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy Adams is cute. But the rest of the movie's not that good. You know, it's one of those I said that Amy Adams is... playing into a lower grade than she's really worth in this film. It's a love story. So
she got a free trip to Ireland.
Yeah, she got to go to Ireland for this. It's better than, what was it, Maid of Honor a couple years ago? That also took place partly in Ireland, which was just terrible. Made me want to punch myself in the face. I think I did, actually, after that movie.
Yeah.
And there's nine. I don't even know why I'm mentioning this, because I didn't get it sent to me. I didn't particularly like it.
I got a copy of it,
but it's
still it's still not a great film.
Part of the problem is Rob Marshall, who directed this. He directed Chicago, and he just basically rehashes all the techniques he used in Chicago. Don't you think so? I mean, it's basically Chicago.
Oh yeah,
it's the Chicago template put on Fellini's 8.5.
Yeah,
it's really all it is.
Anyway, what are the stinkers this week?
One's a Tooth Fairy. With The Rock Johnson. Do I have to explain what the Tooth Fairy is about? Or
nope.
Okay, you can move on.
Nope, that's pretty much what it is. Also, another stinker. Stinker number two of the week is the Marvel Iron Man Armored Adventures cartoon series
from
the 90s.
Is this the kid version? Or is he's not like Little Iron Man.
No, it's not Little Iron Man. That one's actually kind of cool.
Okay.
This one is Adult Iron Man for kids. It is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's Iron Man.
I got through like two episodes, barely.
Really? What's so bad? Is it just boring?
It's boring. It's really convoluted. And here's the problem with Iron Man. Iron Man has some really stupid villains in his rogues gallery.
Okay.
And they're all in this cartoon.
Was it like the old Batman TV show with Egghead?
Yeah, stuff like that. It's bad.
Wow.
So
it was Stan Lee in his heyday of the 60s making up some really stupid stuff.
He was really on drugs back then.
Yeah.
Anyway, time to wrap up our review. Speaking of Iron Man, we both saw Iron Man 2 and said it rocks.
Rocks.
Definitely. And then Babies, neither one of us saw. Not because they didn't screen it, just because, well,
I was sick. I was sick.
Kevin was sick, apparently. And I just didn't feel like seeing it. But, you know, if you're a mother, go see it.
Yeah. Not a mother, but a mother.
Next week, we've got another big movie, Robin Hood, coming out. We've also got Letters to Juliet and the Queen Latifah-led comedy Just Right. So, in the meantime, get us over to FatGuysTheMovies.com and have yourself a wonderful weekend at the movies.